At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your Ring of Honor post show. It is September 5th, and holy heck, has it been an eventful little week for AEW television. Less eventful here on ROH. There was a lot of stuff that felt a little extra again, but we're going to talk about it all. We don't have Joel and Cresta on the other end of this, so it's like they knew we weren't going to have them on the back end of the show. So they said, we'll give them bonus wrestling, but get in your super chats. No humper chats tonight. We appreciate any support that you can give us. This is the little show that could, as I always say, because these are the less accessible wrestling shows. So we have a wonderful, wonderful supportive group that filters in here. And I got a wonderful co-host, wonderful ROH partner in crime, my buddy SP3. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing one of my Mina Shirakawa dances.
You got your little, you're shimmying and shaking?
Yes, let's do it. I am here on a Thursday with Kate. Always a good time to talk some Ring of Honor. I feel like it was just 2 weeks ago. They tend to do this on pay-per-view weeks where they give us these supersize episodes, which I understand coincides with having pay-per-views. I just want you to keep the same energy that you had when you first got to Texas and give me a show where I see some type of direction in any way. I don't want random matches where I'm like, is this on the card too? Like the last hour of this show, I just kept saying that a bunch of times. I was like, why is this on the card? Like, I like John Silver, but Why are we doing this? Why are we doing Griff Garrison versus Cool Hand Ange? What's the point?
To what end, as Alex Pulowski always likes to say, and that is a proper phrase for this. I'm sorry that I look like I'm in a being questioned in an interrogation room. We're still getting my lighting and decor set up here at the new office now that my internet is actually mostly functioning. So apologies that I'm all shadowed out. Guys, get in those super chats. We're going to talk about it all. I've got hair decisions to make on Friday, if you guys have any thoughts. I think I'm going red. I think I might go redhead for fall. So let me know what you think. Should I stay super blonde?
Jamie Hayter.
Maybe I'm inspired by her. Should I be like in the strawberry blonde family? Let me know. Let me know in the comments. Send in some super chats about what I should do with this mop on my head on Friday. So we're going to be making some moves, but let's dive into this episode of ROH. There was a lot of superfluous stuff, but the stuff that made sense I thought was very, very good. We got to see Lady Frost come back. We got this really great main event. Shibata and Josh Woods locking up again, which couldn't be more Kate's stuff than that. people touching tips in the chat. A noticeable lack of male modeling on the show, but a lot of fun have there. Other than kind of the fluff, what did you think of kind of the more meaningful stuff that we got in this? Did you like where it's headed?
Yeah, I liked a lot of stuff, like especially in the first half of the show, and then the bottom half, the last like half hour of the show, it felt like stuff that actually mattered. We got some real matches, like the aforementioned Shibata and Josh Woods, where you can say, hey, these are two guys that can compete with Lee Moriarty for the pure championship, and like, kind of like a contenders type of matchup. And then the Mina Shirakawa, I'm the biggest Mina Shirakawa fan there is, so I always enjoy seeing her in the main event with a match that actually got some build to it last week with Taya Valkyrie attacking her, and on this show with the promo they had early on in the show. So I like that type of stuff, and I like the stuff early because we got some beef. If you're not gonna have male models touching tip, we need some the new greatest tag team in the Ring of Honor universe ground beef. Yes, ground beef, Anthony Henry, and his second cousin, Beef.
That's right. We're going to dive into this. So we are not running late. They are running late. So we're running late because they're running late. This was a very long episode, but some love from Van Twinblade here saying, first, RIP, Rich Homie Kwan. And second, Linkin Park is back. And third, holy S. We got 30 seconds till I'm out of that pay window. Or not the pay window. The swear window. It is the pay window, really. Yeah. The monetization, we can't swear window. So I'm going to give it another 10 seconds so that I can say the swear. Because it's warranted for the angle that we got last night. 3, 2, 1. No kick out. Holy shit. Hangman did the thing. He did do the thing. And one of the most badass looking production shots we've seen in modern wrestling. For sure. Ricardo saying, hello, people touching tips. Stop the patchwork episodes, please. Yeah, this is 1 hour spread into two. This is where it kind of hurts that we don't have like an AEW dark. Because like there were a lot of really good matches today that have no place being on this episode of ROH. Like that's tricky. And also, there's so many, and no shade thrown at any of the enhancement talent. A lot of them are fantastic wrestlers, like really good stuff. But there's so many people in the locker room that aren't being used that could be fighting some people that on these kind of more superfluous matches, I'm like, I'm not sure. But let's finally dive into this episode. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I will remind you to subscribe to Fightful Select later, but where did my notes go? One moment, please. There we go. We do have, I love seeing Rocky Romero in action against Aaron Solo here. Rocky's one of those guys that just, like, if he's coming out, I'm just excited. Like, his presence just kind of, like, lights up a screen in a really special way, in my opinion. And he's just really cool. Like, I don't know what to tell you. That guy comes across as very cool, and I can't think of someone better for Aaron Solo to be up against and working with. Like, just a wealth of knowledge, both that you can learn from being in the ring with someone and as a person. Like, that guy has just been a part of so many facets of this great sport that you could be in. So you get Rocky Romero winning here with the Super Slice Bread. This was a match that was kind of one of those more thrown together ones. I was surprised. This is what kicked off the show. But I wasn't mad about it. I love Rocky, and I would love to see him in ROH more. Like, if he isn't going to be in, like, the conglomeration or any of these more thrown-together things, like, him on an actual track in ROH I think could be a lot of fun. I have no idea what his front office responsibilities look like. He works for, like, 8 different companies, so might not be the best use of him, but I think there's a lot to be learned from working with Rocky, and for some of these younger talents, SP3, why not have him on TV more? I thought this was great.
Yeah, Rocky Romero is one of the most talented and just a wealth of knowledge, whether it be behind the scenes and everything he does, working with New Japan Pro Wrestling, AEW. He does some work with CMLL. I don't know if he does any backstage work, but he is like the person that bring the Bloods and the Crips of AAA and CMLL to the table for Tony Khan to be Kendrick Lamar and put them all on stage in Los Angeles. So it was, I appreciate Rocky Romero for everything he does. He's just so talented, but he's also talented in the ring, and he's one of like the more seasoned veterans. Like, I remember seeing Rocky Romero when he was very young in his career in the early 2000s in Ring of Honor, when he was a part of the Rockwallas with Homicide and Ricky Reyes, and then going into No Remorse Corps with Roderick Strong and Davey Richards, and then come all the way, what, 2 decades later here in Ring of Honor, back in Ring of Honor, working with someone like Aaron Solo, who can get a lot from just being in the ring with Rocky Romero. And this match got a decent amount of time, and I was surprised Rocky Romero pulled out one of like his super finishers, not even like a regular
super
finisher.
Super
slice spread, super sharing away, whatever name you want to call it. He picked up the victory here. So it was a good way to kick off the show, and I was hopeful for the show at that point, because we got an actual match to kick things off. This is one of those instances that I feel like I said this 2 weeks ago when we did the pre-All In episode. This is like 2 episodes worth of stuff in one show. And I much rather prefer you just split it up into 2 different episodes, because I think I would be remembering this match a lot more and noting some stuff more if it went on a different show and not a nearly 2.5 hour show. This should have been a spotlight matchup here.
I'm so glad you said that, because even I come from a PR and marketing background, and when I see things like this, I'm like, when you give that to us as a supersized episode, it kind of feels like we have a lot of fluff, and a lot of this stuff like doesn't really matter. But if you give it to us as a bonus episode on free YouTube, that's a completely different feeling, right? So like, there's just these little things with ROH that they've made a ton of progress on, it feels like, but that's something that they should get into a rhythm of like, their editing is not the best for ROH and Collision. They'll be like, it's the main event. And I'm like, this is the third match of the show. Like, they need to do a better job on things like that. But like, just little stuff like that. Like, if you frame it as bonus wrestling, people want to sign up for it. If you put it in the framework with stuff that already has our investment, and then it's just kind of extra, it just extends the watching experience without extending the investment from us. So just kind of an overall note on that. But we move on to something that I was very excited for, which was the return of Lady Frost. Haven't had her in action in a little bit. I think she's been out with injury. So if she is back and healthy, I'm so happy that's the case. If she was sidelined for a different reason, I apologize for speaking out of turn. But I think she had been benched with an injury, but she calls her shot for a Proving Ground match at your ROH Women's TV title holder tonight. That, of course, is Red Velvet. And let's just go ahead and talk about that match now. This was one of the more noteworthy things on the show. We have Red Velvet winning here with the seated cradle pin. I really liked a lot about this match. I just am kind of like, why not let Lady Frost win and get a title shot? Like, to your point, and you've said this a few times, ROH has so few pay-per-views that you've got to get defenses in those intermittent moments. So I think it would be really helpful if you just let people like Lady Frost win in those Proving Ground matches, especially because she's someone that's actually on your roster. Like, this isn't enhancement. Again, no shade to the enhancement talent, because they've got a wealth of really great talent to pick from, especially in Texas. But, like, this is someone we've grown to know and has had some wins on ROH and is a part of the bigger picture. Let her win! Why isn't Lady Frost getting a title defense? We're going to talk about what's in store in a little bit, but I thought there was a lot to like about this match. Red Velvet is just a different wrestler than when she was first showcased in this company. Like, she's fantastic. Lady Frost, her murder gymnastics always makes for such interesting offense, but almost even more interesting defense, the way she gets in and out of stuff. I love watching her perform. What did you think of this match? And are you kind of like, what was with the booking? Let Lady Frost get a W here.
I was like, why is this a proving ground matchup and not just for the women's TV championship? Like, Red Velvet won it at the end of July. We're now at the beginning of September, and she still hasn't defended it once. Please don't give me another Billy Starks having multiple proving ground matches and not defending this championship type reign. Red Velvet deserves better than that. I thought, you know, Red Velvet, I'm always impressed with her improvement and her evolution. And Lady Frost is just so talented, so underrated for what she can do in the ring. There was one instance in this matchup where I wasn't sure what was going on when they did the little kind of like roll over.
Yeah, and Lady Frost, when
I hated it too.
I always hate that spot. It has to be done. There are very few occasions where I like it. It has to be done so extraordinarily well. And
it has to be done for a pin. Like, to do it and then the person who went into the turnbuckle doesn't really sell going into the turnbuckle, and then they just did it again into the other. I was like,
yeah, it's,
what
I,
was
I
that?
Never liked what that spot. That? It's not for me. It's not for me at all. I hate that spot.
I did not like that, but everything else in the match I did like. It was a fine affair here between the two ladies. But I also, you know, if you're going to have this matchup and you're going to have the finish of this matchup, I would think that, yeah, you probably should have made this for the ROH Women's Television Championship. Sure. Because you didn't even really put over Red Velvet. She just got a leverage pin on Lady Frost. Like, it's not Red Velvet hitting, you know, one of her multiple finishers. And I like the fact that she's developed multiple finishers that she can finish people off with. But in this instance, I probably would have had her hit one of those finishers. Sure. To get the win, to establish that Lady Frost is not yet ready for the title shot, where somewhat you can kind of say and make the argument that she kind of won on a fluke with a leverage pin in this one. So, hey, maybe they can revisit it and make sense of the finish. But yeah, it was just stuff that was a little off for me here. But I like the match overall.
Agreed. Yeah, nothing, very little to do with the two women in the ring and more the booking of, like, you know, Red Velvet's going to win anyway. Just make it a title match. And if not, yeah. You're right. Kind of. I like that she has those finishers in her arsenal because she didn't used to. And there is kind of something about she had to sneak a win over Lady Frost using something like that. But yeah. This early in the title reign, not even that early in the title reign, but this few defenses into the title reign, this being the first one, she should definitely be kind of using something a little bit stronger to put Lady Frost away. She's too good of a competitor to lose to something like that. But
yeah,
good stuff there. And I did not realize how deep we were into the taping well until they pulled out Lee Johnson versus Nick Comoroto, who announced that he was going into like surgery and injury weeks ago at this point. So
yeah, I was like, dude, did you already come back from your surgery?
No, that's a rest of the year-ish one at least, I think, if I remember correctly. But
yeah,
I mean, it tells you, kudos to them, just like how much they taped when they were in Texas, because that was weeks ago. That was weeks ago. So the belief that they're making plans at least seems to be held true, because this is just coming out now, which means there was a rhythm to the relationship with Nick Comoroto and Jacoby Watts. Lee Johnson beats Nick Comoroto here. Nice to see Lee Johnson back in action too. It's been a little bit since we got to see him. Wins with the schoolboy roll-up. I normally hate roll-ups, but when you have a size differential with someone like Nick Comoroto and Lee Johnson, I kind of liked it, yeah. Especially because of what we get after here, which is Comoroto and Watts attacking Johnson. But we get the formation of Team Lee J, as commentary was calling them. EJ and Duka coming out to make the save here and laying out Comoroto with that spine buster, and then Watts hitting a spine buster and hitting Watts with the spine buster too. Really good stuff. I love the idea of Lee Johnson and EJ as a tag team, because we already saw Lee Johnson go for the TV title and lose. We already saw him go for the world title and lose. So it feels like what's next for that guy, because he is one of their most improved performers on the entire ROH brand. And they haven't made a lot of single star on the men's side. They've done a million times the work on the women's side. But Lee Johnson kind of needs a next step here. I'm guessing that's why he hasn't been on TV for a while. It's like, let's be intentional with what's next for him. Partnership with EJ. I'm in SP3.
Hey, I'm here for it. I was very surprised when EJ and Duka came out because I thought that they were leaning more to EJ being a heel, but I like him being a powerhouse babyface and being the muscle behind Lee Johnson. And like you said, Lee Johnson, he's put on my favorite match of Ring of Honor this year with him and Kyle Fletcher in the 2 out of 3 so falls great. Matchup. And you see Kyle Fletcher now is basically on Dynamite every week. He'll lose 1 week and get a title match the next week, and he put on a banger last night with Kashiko Okada. So you see where he's at, but you want to see some direction for Lee Johnson as well. So it was nice to kind of do this angle with setting up EJ and Lee Johnson together. I like that. I even like the matchup. And this time I thought the fluke victory made sense, like you said, where Lee Johnson is facing a bigger competitor in Nick Camarado. So it makes sense for him to get the win with the schoolboy. So
and
I like
a numbers
that
game as well too. So it's yeah, like size and numbers advantage on the other side. You kind of should be more desperate for a win in that situation. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I want to see more for Lee Johnson. I want to see him succeed in what he's doing. And I'm looking forward to this Lee Johnson, EJ and Duka kind of storyline that's developing here. And as far as Nick Camarado and Kobe, Jacoby Watts, I want to see what they do with Jacoby Watts now that we know that Nick Camarado is going to be out with an injury. So all of this worked for me on this show.
Agreed. This was a productive use of everybody involved, which was not the case the entire show, unfortunately. But this one was good. Everybody benefited from the win, the loss, and the post-match. I'm intrigued to see what we get from Team Lee J. I think there's going to be some good developments that happen there because that just seems like an excellent pairing. And later, we do get this backstage where Melissa Santos is interviewing Lee Johnson after the match. One very nice thing, too, is, like, having Melissa Santos as the dedicated ROH backstage gal. Lexi was great, but she was also, like, involved in stories and doing a bunch of work for Collision. I kind of like that we have Melissa Santos just in the straightforward role, and that lets Lexi, like, be in Minion school. And then when Dalton Castle comes back, they can rekindle their relationship. But to just have, like, the straight-up-the-middle interviewer, I think is good.
Yeah.
But she's interviewing Lee Johnson. And they're saying that they were attacked by two cowards, but he appreciated the save from the judge, EJ Nduka, who says that that kind of nonsense would not be happening under his sight because he's very demure and very mindful, as we have previously learned. So a good follow-up there, and it kind of solidified that this is a proper alliance, which I like. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be a tag team or if they're just looking out for each other, but I dig it. What do you think of it?
I prefer this tag team holding the ROH World Tag Team Champions and the current champions. That's all I have to say. I don't want to anger any Dustin Rhodes fans out there, but Dustin, just worry about the 6-man tag team titles. Why don't you?
It is an overabundance of real estate. I will say I have enjoyed the work that Sammy Guevara has done since he's been back. He's a way better babyface than people give him credit for. But to your point, like, it doesn't feel like an ROH team to me.
No. That's why they won the titles on AEW television and not Ring of Honor television. And you want to talk about us manifesting stuff. They're doing a Collision tomorrow. Lance Archer versus Mark Briscoe. How many weeks have I talked about?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Them doing that matchup for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And Tony Khan says, you know what? That sounds like a great idea to do for a Continental Contender Challenge.
We are basically volunteer bookers is what happens. We are. That's what's going on. We're very powerful manifestors.
Still waiting for my check, Tony, but it's okay. You can keep using these ideas. I just want you to use them in the correct fashion, which is Lance Archer gets a shot at the Ring of Honor World Championship. And why don't you, you know, you've had, what is it, Claudio Castagnoli, Chris Jericho, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe as Ring of Honor World Champions in your stint as Booker. These are all people you seem to use more on AEW than ROH. How about Lance Archer be the one to dethrone Mark Briscoe? Because I know you're not going to use him that often on AEW television. And let us have a Ring of Honor World Champion that is specifically on Ring of Honor.
Well, I do have a conspiracy theory about that, but we can talk about it later in the show with the Righteous, because there's some, I feel like I picked up on some interesting possibilities, but let's keep moving along to who you really want to be the tag team champions. I will say for a two-hour episode, we are back in, like, hardly any champions mode again. Like, no tag team, no six-man, no TV title, no world title, blah. For 2 hours, for over 2 hours, no thank you. But
it wasn't until you just said that where I was just like, who is the Ring of Honor TV champion? Because I feel like I haven't seen him in weeks, Atlantis Jr.
Feels like that guy, of anybody, should be available for this show. But someday. This did feel very much like we edited a bunch of matches together thing. So I get it. Now that I'm guessing we're back to the live cycles sooner than later, hopefully we get back to these more pared down episodes and not a proper episode plus a bunch of stuff that was in the kitchen sink. But yeah. You know what time it is? Time to talk about Beef. Because Paul White's interviewing Beef and Anthony Henry by naming them as part of the Workhorsemen. And Anthony Henry says, it's not the same without JD Drake. And Beef is like, what the heck? Cousins! certainly a bunch of charisma with this guy, undeniably so. I'm here for Beef. I'm not a Beef stan necessarily in the same way that you are, but I do appreciate him very much. This is perfectly fun to do while JD Drake's been out. And listen, JD Drake might not be there, but Henry and Beef picking up a win here with the Beef splash, which for
the toad splash,
it just sounds gross. Like a Beef splash sounds gross. Like I get that his name is Beef and it's a splash, but it sounds gross. It sounds like it's supposed to be a dish served at a restaurant, and it's, I'm not here for it, but I am here for this duo. This is perfectly fun. There's guys like Beef and this return of Fuego and stuff like that, that I'm wondering if they were just there for like, hey, we have this Texas stint come to all the Texas tapings, or if they're going to continue on in ROH. So I'm intrigued to see what that's going to look like, but I'm going to turn it over to you because I know you love you some beef.
So the tag team, they're Paul White. I'm sorry, I have to correct you. I appreciate all your work. I think that you've been a useful authority figure on Ring of Honor television. But if you're going to do backstage interviews, you have to say their proper tag team name. That is not the Work Horseman. The Work Horseman, Anthony Henry is absolutely right. The Work Horseman is JD Drake and Anthony Henry. Anthony Henry and Beef is ground beef. Because Anthony Henry works on the ground. He does a lot of mat work and technical work, and Beef is Beef. So it's ground beef. That is their official tag team name. I will not hear anyone call them otherwise. Do not call them mispronounce their you know, you got to have the proper pronouns when you talk to them and the sure. proper nouns. So ground beef is their name. I just always like beef. I'm a beef guy. Beef. Yeah, I love beef. I love hamburgers. So me and my daughter, we were on the train the other day and I saw a cow and I was like, beef. I'm sorry, cows.
But breaking my vegan heart.
I'm sorry. It's just, I saw beef when I see a cow. It should be the cow splash. Shout out to Caprice Coleman who said that. Should be a cow splash. But Beef, man, he's just so charismatic. He has that endearing charm to him. And I think that if he is available for the live shows, whether it be, you know, tapings before AEW Collision or not, he's the type of guy that I can eventually see getting over with the fans because he is surprisingly more athletic than he looks. And, you know, him doing frog splashes, that's going to gain attention. And just, he just has that charm to him. He just has that smile that brightens up the world. Everyone needs beef in their heart, regardless if you're vegan, vegetarian. We all need beef and ground beef. Your next Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions.
SP3, you want to hear my two jokes that I just thought of right now?
I was setting you up with everything, but go ahead.
Okay, ready. But here you go, ready? If Beef does a move that he shouldn't be able to do for someone his size, he would be Impossible Beef.
The Impossible Beef! Have him do a moonsault and call it the Impossible Beef.
Right?
I gotta tap you on the back. Great job.
Thank you so much.
Great job.
Okay, you want to hear my other joke?
Yes.
Do you know how you beat a competitor like Beef?
How?
With the cattle mutilation.
Get away!
I got jokes! I got jokes today.
Very well done. Very well done.
We should just stop the show here.
Yeah, we peaked.
It's not going to get better than that.
We peaked too early, ladies and gentlemen. Cattle mutilation is the way to beat Beef.
Everybody touch tips in the chat for my amazing jokes, please. Please leave comments about how funny I am. We do.
We need to touch tips after that. There we go.
A little aggressive with the tips.
Yeah, you're roughing my tip right now.
Look, man, Sora said to frost tips. I just was a little aggressive about it, all right? A little aggressive about it. Guys, I'm not here.
At least you didn't grip my tip. At least you didn't grip it.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Mason calling me out for getting the black joke, like called me out on Twitter and was like, I'm surprised at you. It's like, come on, man.
House of Blacks. Oh my God. That was
my
great.
God.
That was great. They need to announce that. Why haven't they announced? Is that going to be on Rampage tomorrow?
I'm wondering, does that make it to the 0 hour? I'm wondering.
I think it's gonna be Rampage because they haven't announced anything for Rampage tomorrow. They went hard for Collision, and I'm sorry, you know, I'm gonna be watching Collision and SmackDown at the same time. But to be fair, this episode of Collision is not gonna do well ratings wise. So this is a lot of stuff you're putting on here to possibly not have a good rating. And I would have, I don't know.
Is it Rampage or live Rampage though?
Yeah, it's live Rampage.
Okay, so
I think
yeah.
That's what I said. I think they'll announce that. That can probably be the main event for Rampage tomorrow.
That would be a great main. That would be a great main. Thank you so much. I'm out here making jokes. Guys, get in your super chats if you have any beef and cow jokes or if you want to talk about Ring of Honor, either one is fine by me, but we appreciate it so much when you guys are able to support us however you can. Thumbs up on this video, leaving comments, touching tips, however you guys choose to support us. We definitely appreciate it. I will also take a minute to tell you, because I didn't really do this at the top of the show, about some stuff we've got coming up on FightfulSelect.com. It's a pay-per-view weekend, like every weekend, seemingly. So you're going to get me and Alex Pulowski on Fightful Select doing the All Out Alternative post-show to Sean on the main. Sean's usually done like a hot hour earlier than us at Extremely Normal. Alex Pulowski and I are not. So if you want an extremely silly post-show that runs way too long, coming out. We have so much fun. It feels like a big slumber party behind the paywall, honestly. We have so much fun. Also on Fightful Select, we'll tell you all about the Discord for the last, what was it? Not Bash in Berlin, but the pay-per-view before that, I think. Was it SummerSlam? Sean was just dropping, like, this person's in Gorilla, this person's in Gorilla, in the Discord. So you get scoops before they even go on Fightful Select proper. And that's just what Sean does sometimes. You get the scoops thread, but you can also hop in that Discord and get them in real time as Sean's finding them out. And of course, all the scoops in the land that you could possibly want. Sean works very, very hard. You also get Sean's Q&A show and also an Ask SRS channel on that Discord as well. So much. That Warner deal is very close. Andrew Zarian reported on Beyond the Bell that it is in the contract. The contracts are in the hands of the lawyers, so dotting I's, crossing T's, it sounds like. Fightful Select reported that it looks to be possibly double the deal or more that their original deal was, which is an incredibly healthy sign for pro wrestling in general and AEW. And Tony Khan said that there were reports out there that were pretty accurate. So we'll let you piece two and two together. I'm hoping he was referring to some of our reports, but subscribe, get the information as accurate as possible. Also, with sensitive information like the news that broke with Odyssey Jones and any firings and hirings and injuries and things like that, that is on the free tier as well. So you can subscribe to the free tier. You get the headlines of what's on the paid tier, so you can kind of get a little taste if you want. But Sean feels like it's icky. He used the word icky years ago. He said it's icky to charge for those things. And I said, I feel that way too. I'm glad that you do. But Sabrina's in the chat. Calling her chat up because she's just a wonderful and supportive person, saying, guys, help me with the late night snack choice. I have string cheese, pickles, and chips and guac. I'm a chips and guac kind of gal, especially for at night.
I like pickles.
You're a pickle guy.
I'm a pickle guy.
We gotta get you some of those pickles, MJF pickles. But
oh please,
4K wrestling move, just really really cool wrestling moves.
That's what he should just call one of his moves. The wrestling move. It should just be like a body slam. And he just calls it the wrestling move.
100%. We're moving along. Thank you guys so much for sticking with us. We know this was a long episode and we know there's no TNA on the back end. So we really, really appreciate you guys staying tuned in. We're going to talk about Rachel Ellering and Gigi Rae. Rachel Ellering winning here with the Black Hole Slam. She looks great. Love Rachel Ellering of Honor, I call her. She's been doing some really, really good work now. Very, very settled into this brand. And she seems like someone stylistically who kind of feels like the Ring of Honor brand a little bit. I really, really like her. I said last week, such a natural baby face in her promos where she was like, you know what, I lost, but it was a learning experience and I just got to do better and stuff like that. I find her very easy to root for with just her in-ring ability as well. Like the moveset she has could be tempting to turn her heel because she can do so many like strong athletic gal stuff and really slam people around. But she has this likability to her that makes it very easy to kind of get behind her, which is an important thing to have as a pro wrestler. It's kind of one of those intangible pieces of things. So good stuff here. This was kind of like a match just to keep Rachel winning, it felt like. Any thoughts from you on this?
Yeah, I really like Rachel Ellering getting like a kind of a showcase matchup on here. I feel like they're putting her on the what I call the Sky Blue slash Marina Shafir regiment of just put going out there, having a squash win, having bigger matches against more named talent where they come up just short, but then you reheat them up before they get into a proper feud. I think the only thing missing from the show was a little bit of follow-up with the rivalry that was developing between her and Harley Cameron. But that's what I kind of agree with what you said earlier. That was a good keen eye what Kate always has here, where this was a lot of matches that they kind of just scrapped all together because the lack of follow-up with her and Harley Cameron kind of points to this was probably not on the same taping as everything else on the show.
Sure, you could even kind of hear with the crowd. I was like, they were either just very in and out, or this is from several different tapings. So I'm gonna guess it was kind of a hodgepodge here, but I would love for something. Harley Cameron's been such a riot that, like, her with this very likable and more, not like serious pro wrestler, but a wrestler's wrestler, against Harley Cameron being like, hello, Ree. Like, so much Ree? Fun. Yeah.
We're just hiring anybody over here.
No. I don't like mustard.
Can we talk about how this week on AEW television, it's just been all of our kids from Ring of Honor graduating? Like, because we talked about earlier, Kyle Fletcher putting on a banger with Kashiko Okada. You got Ring of Honor World Champion Mark Briscoe all over the place, the best promo in the game today. I did not have that on my 2024 bingo card, but here it is. You got Willow Nightingale's going to be on the pay-per-view. You got Beast Mortos about to have a banger with Konosuke Takeshita. You got Lance Archer showing up on Collision against Mark Briscoe. It's just, I'm so happy. I feel like I'm already, my kids are only four, so I haven't seen them graduate anything yet, but I feel like I'm seeing my kids graduate to the big time. So
well,
it's so nice.
Here's the problem.
And Marina Shafir, forgot to say.
Marina, yes. Who looks, by the way, so different in street clothes, like so different. When she showed up, I was like, that looks like if Marina Shafir looked like a version 7 of her or something. Like I knew it was her, but I couldn't like put it together. What a badass. And the way she's being presented right now. The only problem with that, SB3, is our kids who have been raised here are all big losers. All of them. Every single one is a big fat loser. They're being used as enhancement talent, and I don't like it very much. The only thing I'll say, we had this conversation, I filled in for Sean yesterday on the Dynamite post show. Does it feel like Aussie Open has passed us by? Like, if Mark Davis can return, is Kyle Fletcher just breaking out so much that going back to a tag team feels like a step down? I said it wouldn't if the tag division was what it used to be, because that just used to feel adjacent and not like a step down. The way the tag division's been recently, it does feel like a step down, but I'm looking at the stadium show in Australia thinking them winning the tag titles could be like an ultimate moment. But it was a good question, because he's really just having an incredible, incredible showing time after time. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like if anybody watches True Hill Heat and AE Ramble, my guy, my co-host for AE Ramble, Jimmy Macaram, has been like the number one Kyle Fletcher
hater.
He's
amazing. Oh, but
he's been a hater. He's been a hater. But even he today, he was like, I was impressed with Kyle Fletcher. He was like, Kyle Fletcher is winning me over with his matches as of late. You know, he felt like he outshined Ricochet in his debut last week, and he thought that he got Okada to give a fuck more than a six. More than a six, which is record breaking stuff for Okada. Okada on a 0 to 10. If he could get anything above a six, that means you're talented. And he did that with Okada.
Okay.
Doing apron bumps, doing bumps on the barricade. Like, he got Okada to wake up and be Kashiko Okada. And Kyle Fletcher has just got that endearing kind of charm and charisma to him. But I will say,
I think for like the next year, if he's just a single star, he is going to be a jobber to the more main event talents like your Okadas, like your Will Ospreys, like your MJFs, like your Swerve Strickland, the guys that he has lost to already this year. I think he just would continue to lose to those guys. He would eventually become like a TNT international champion, but Aussie Open is one of the best tag teams in the world. And if Mark Davis can come back even to 50%, 60% of what he was before, Aussie Open would immediately bring some energy and bring a boost to the AEW tag team division, which I think we are. I have hopes that we will be on the other side of next year and being like, hey, yeah, AEW tag team division is back. Because you still have the Young Bucks if they decide to wrestle. Hey, they're wrestling on back-to-back pay-per-view. So, hey, got to put my Not hands bad. Up. That's more than they were doing the past 6 months before that. So back-to-back pay-per-views, you got the Blackpool Combat Club, Claudio Castagnoli and Willie Yuta in the tag team mix. You got FTR and GYV, the Grizzled Young Veterans coming in, and Aussie Open would give us another great tag team to put in that mix where we can get the tag team division back to somewhat of stability once again. And I think that they would be a stalwart and future AEW World Tag Team Champions a lot faster than Kyle Fletcher would be an international champion or TNT champion. So I don't think it's a regression back, even despite this current state of the tag team division. I think it's better for his career to be in Aussie Open for a little while longer, because in the next 2-3 years, he is going to be a top star because he already has the look. He's gotten more mass on his body, but he's still 2-3 years away because of all the other talent. And I haven't even mentioned Konosuke Takeshita. He's not even the best guy in his own stable. Konosuke Takeshita is the in the Don Callis family, and he is like, he's months, weeks away from breaking out and becoming a champion in AEW, in my opinion, after what he did in the G1. Whereas Kyle Fletcher, he still needs time as a single star, but in the tag team, he can immediately be the face and a champion almost immediately when Mark Davis comes back.
I agree wholeheartedly with pretty much everything you said. I would make Kyle Fletcher like the guy that Daniel Garcia was in the C2 maybe last year, where it was like he's taking a lot of losses, but he's getting a really good story out of it. Maybe, I mean, Daniel Garcia almost lost out until the draw, right? But like a guy who's obviously not going to win, but when you see him, he can play spoiler. He can really like, he can really do some impressive things. And part of what's so amazing about him at this young age is his versatility. He could be in there with anybody and he will put together a logical but incredible feat of athleticism type match. Very obvious he's under the Will Ospreay learning tree. Sorry to use the learning tree. Ugh, gross. Show's over. I need to go shower. But I'm out of here.
we honestly just named the two people I'm excited most to be in the Continental Classes. So please, Takeshita. Tony Khan, we know you're watching. Konosuke Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher need to be in this year's C2 because they can deliver every single week like they have been doing, whether it be Takeshita over in New Japan or Fletcher as of late on AEW. Those two guys have to be. They have to be must adds to the C2. And the fact that we're going to see a lot of changes to the C2 as far as the competitors in it, because no Eddie Kingston. I don't think Brian's going to be in it because he's the world champion right now. And when he loses his end of his full-time run, another guy I would say a shout that probably not a lot of people is thinking about, but Darby Allin. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Darby Allin is the best TV wrestler of all time. He's one of the best of all time. He's in my top 5 TV wrestlers of all time because he just delivers great matches. He's got a great character. He always gets a big pop. He's the type of guy I would want in the C2 as well. With those three guys, Okada, throwing a couple more people, C2 can be as great as it was last year.
To me, Darby Allin puts on variations of the same match extremely well. So I don't know if he's one of my favorites. But him in a C2, my favorite match of his was the one he had with MJF before Full Gear, I think it was. Like 3
years ago. Full Gear 2021.
Oh my God. It was like my favorite match on that card. That had Punk and Eddie and Kenny and Hangman. And it was such a different type of match for Darby. And I think a C2 could bring that out of him, and I would really, really like it. I would also throw Anthony Bowens in that.
That's a good shout.
But let's keep moving along here, guys. Get in those super chats. We're having fun today because we don't have Jolyn Cresta coming on to ruin our good time here. Not really. They're the best, but we are without them today. So get in those super chats. If there's anything you want to talk about, please leave a thumbs up. If you are coming on here for the TNA show, because it usually starts between now and 10 minutes from now, they were bound for a day off and not so much for glory today, as I put it on Twitter. So they do have some time off here, but we're going to talk about SAP and the Iron Savages with Jack Jameson. There was a huge controversy on Twitter that was unintentionally started by me and Ian Riccoboni, where on commentary, Ian Riccoboni said, I can't go to Titty City. I don't want to. I don't even have my passport. And I called that out on Twitter, and Jack Jameson clarified that it's more of like a state of mind thing, that travel boundaries don't apply. And I said, I haven't been to Titty City since college. So I'm just saying. But man, and Helico is just one of the best underrated dudes that they have. You put him in there with anybody, he looks so great. Serpentico is just a blast. I now believe he's the booker of all of Nyla Rain's title shots, because she never wins, but she always gets them. So like, just to continue to break her heart, I think they gave Serpentico the book on those ones. But really, really fun stuff here. I hope they continue to give. There was a long time where Angelico was just not on our screen for a lot. Yeah. And he's excellent. He's a really excellent professional wrestler. The collision of styles with the Iron Savages was super, super fun. Jack Jameson, I'm just going to say it, kind of a silly goose. Kind of a silly goose at ringside here, but he had some fun on the mic during this match. This was fun. Are we building toward tag team contendership at any point? I would love to see that. Your thoughts?
I like the concept of this matchup, because these were two teams that I feel are on the same level, and I couldn't predict who was going to win like off the top. Because, you know, Iron Savages are at the same level as SAP. SAP, we don't always see them get victories. But, you know, coming off of the really good performance that he had against Lee Moriarty, I was like, yeah, I'm going to root for them in this matchup. So it made for a fun viewing experience, just how Angelico and Serpentico work together, doing the dives to the outside, using their speed to keep the bigger competitors on the back foot, and then Angelico with his finisher, that twisting into the twister of the legs into the ankle lock, it just always is a great finisher to see. And the fact that it didn't work out for him against Lee Moriarty, with Lee using his final rope break to break that hold, and then this week he got it in the right position where he got the victory for his team. So well done on improving from last week for Angelico, and I like SAP picking up the victory here. And I wouldn't mind SAP getting into title contention. Like I said, SAP, just like Lee J, I'm all here for them being the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions over our current champion. Sorry, Dustin fan.
SP3 is going to nominate us to be the tag team champion at some point. Just, we're here every Thursday. I can say that much. We are definitely that, but it is also like, it felt like something they did for Texas, and now they're out of Texas. So like, okay, then what's next? Because like you said, and I agreed with you wholeheartedly, like Dustin Rhodes, fantastic babyface. He played babyface in peril very well at multiple times in a lot of the matches that he was showcased in. But it was a lot of, because of the Von Erichs and Sammy Guevara's from Texas, like that was a lot of that. So what's next? They have to do some work on, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
They have to get me invested, because I'm not into them having, and I'm not into him monopolizing all the title girls. He's just selfish. I said it before they won the tag team titles.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Selfish.
He is very greedy. Very greedy. You know what? For on all sincerity, let them hold the six-man belts until he retires next year at All In. Like, assuming he's going to retire at the stadium show and All In. Like, yeah. If they're doing actual work with them, let him have, like, an all-timer run that nobody gets to have at this age. And really make something out of the six-man division and have a huge payoff. But don't also monopolize another multi-man belt in that time. Like, I actually would love that. That would be a really cool use of Dustin Rhodes, where it's like he doesn't have to defend all the time, but he defends once every 6 weeks with the Von Erichs or whatever. Sign me up. That would be fun as hell. Just don't take up so much real estate on the show.
Let it build to Dustin versus Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor World Championship at All In Texas next year.
I mean, they'll probably do that. Now that you said it, you probably
said it. I said it. I put it. I manifested it. Damn.
We're moving on to Lance Archer and the Righteous, who I gotta say, I dig. Versus Lights, Camera, Faction, which is just the best name in the whole wide world. Braxton Fresco and Watson with Ice Williams. The team you would expect gets the win here with the Avalanche Blackout on Watson. Solid win. Normally, this is the place where I would say, but what's it leading to? But I have an interesting theory.
Yeah, let's hear it. Because this was the number one match on this show where I was like, did this really need to be on this show?
Well, even with my theory, still no. But... when Mox gave his return promo on Wednesday, Dutch and Vincent said, like, I always liked that Jon Moxley. And then on Collision, we had Lance Archer backstage doing the same thing that Jon Moxley and Marina were doing. And someone said, yeah, but Lance Archer always just throws random guys around. And that was a very fair point. But he did the same, like, into the camera thing Jon Moxley always does and hits the side of it. A Jon Moxley stable with Lance Archer and the Righteous would freaking love. And part of what I would love about it is, like, he wouldn't have to be the only mic guy. Like, Vincent is great at that. And it would be something so different for Moxley. I don't know if that's where it's going, but Vincent and Dutch aren't usually the ones to tweet themselves into creative. Like, I appreciate that about them, that they're not, like, always just throwing stuff out there all the time. So it feels a little more intentional. Maybe that was just their thought, which, God bless them, I picked up on it. But then when Lance Archer on Collision did, like, the same style thing, I was like, maybe we're going somewhere with this. And I feel like that would be a very, very cool main roster act that you could have either a trio or a tag team in. That would be such an excellent use of Jon Moxley, because if I have to watch Lance Archer lose to someone that is entering or just lost a title one more time, I'm going to throw my computer out a window. And I also love the Righteous, always have, always will. The people that are like stands about Hangman, like, he did arson, but it was justified. That's how I feel about the Righteous. Like, whatever. I'll be a loyalist to them always. Interesting, interesting thing, because I dig SP3. So the match, not the most important. Glad they, like, had a rep and that they're still looking strong in case we do ever get around to these six-man belts being a thing. But what do you think about the possibility of a Jon Moxley faction?
I much rather prefer that than Moxley doing a stable, because Shane McMahon has sent him to take over AEW, or Jon Moxley starting a stable with Bloodsport Shooters with Josh Barnett.
much rather prefer him teaming up with Lance Archer in The Righteous. I like Lance Archer in The Righteous. I seem to be one of the bigger Lance Archer fans apparently now, because I want Lance Archer to not have a squash win where I immediately think, oh, who is he going to job to? What's the star that needs a win? As soon as Lance Archer is beating up somebody backstage or comes out for a squash match, I'm like, so who is he going to lose to? What are they heating? Are they heating him up to lose to Will Ospreay? Are they heating him up to lose to John Moxley? That's what I always think about when Lance Archer just comes out and does anything. So I need Lance Archer to get some type of story in AEW, so he has some type of direction and some reason to be beating up people backstage the way he does. Everybody dies, but including yourself. So it seems like I need you to not die so fast and to actually build some momentum, and getting a story is a key part of that. So I would not mind that. I agree with you with Vincent being a part of the group. That's another talker to go along with Moxley that can kind of fill in for Moxley if Moxley wants to take the week off, and you can have Marina Shafir beating up people for them. And I love the fact, I think they do need some time with just Marina Shafir and Moxley, because I think that Marina Shafir can get over big if she is doing all the beating up for people, just clearing the way for John Moxley to walk backstage. That popped me the first week last week, and it popped me so much on Dynamite this week. I'm like, and my friend Jimmy Rackram said the same thing. He's like, a woman beating up people, it's always effective. You can give me any woman and they get over, which is beating up multiple men. It doesn't matter who the men are. They could be inconsequential staffers backstage, but it just gets them over and makes them come off like a badass. And Marina Shafir, being a former MMA fighter, I think it just works with her and John Moxley, because we know John Moxley is a badass, but the fact that he has her doing all the grunt work and beating up everybody, it's going to put her over, and you just have to do it more and more for a couple of weeks. So I don't want it to be rushed if that's the goal and that's the direction, them teaming up with Archer and The Righteous. But I would like some maybe teases, and sure. I want to see this conversation between John Moxley and Darby Allin. I thought Moxley did a good job of putting over Darby Allin, and I wouldn't mind him being like, you know, I got some people I've been also wanting to talk to. I got a big Texan. I got some weird guys I want to talk to. So John Moxley is building up intrigue into what his direction is. And also was a good sign is when they asked Bryan Danielson about what's going on with John Moxley, he completely ignored the question. Great job.
Oh my God. So there's two things that they need to clean up on that. One, they really need to clean up the fact that the last time Pac was with these guys was Blood and Guts, and he just peaced out on them. Like, no acknowledgement of that whatsoever. And also, yeah, John Moxley's just not in the Blackpool Combat Club, and Danielson skated by it. If that's not intentional, that's kind of egregious. If it is intentional, I'm intrigued to see where the story goes for that.
I think it is intentional with the fact that you have Moxley wanting to have a conversation with Darby Allin, and he seems to kind of be like, he said he's an impatient man and he doesn't mind putting pressure, but it seems like he wants to have this conversation before Darby faces Bryan Danielson at Grand Slam. And then this week he has that face to face with Jack Perry a couple of days before Jack Perry is about to face Bryan Danielson. I think this is all leading to a John Moxley Bryan Danielson matchup for the AEW World Championship, which makes a whole world of sense, because Bryan has still not defeated Moxley in his entire run in AEW. So that's a big time matchup to do at, like, in Tacoma at WrestleDream or All Out eventually. I think that's one of the bigger title matches that Bryan should have as AEW World Champion.
There was a moment on Wednesday, to your point about Marina, where Mox went to go kick someone's ass, and she, while making eye contact with the person she was going to beat up, just put her hand on his chest. Just like, I got it. But, like, didn't turn to him to be like, I got it. Like, it was so ice cold. She looks like such a badass. I'm so happy for her. I'm so happy for her getting on this track, because that's something that Moxley said he's wanted for a while. So good stuff there as we continue through ROH. We see the numbers going up. That's very encouraging. I appreciate you guys being here. If you're here for the TNA post show, though, I got some bad news for you. They're not on here tonight, but stick around. We're talking some ROH. We had a supersized episode tonight, so we're taking advantage of the extra time that we have here. Lots to talk about with ROH, especially in the women's wrestling picture. I'd love to see that. We got Diamante pretty much squashing T.R. James, who is a talent out of the Northeast. Here in Jersey, she's very good. She didn't get a lot of time to showcase what she can do here, though, losing to the Sunset Flip Powerbomb. But the big thing here is that Diamante continued to attack T.R. James after the match, and Red Velvet comes down to make the save. So it seems like we know what's next for our TV title champion here. Hopefully these defenses happen more than like once every 6 months. That would be nice. But Diamante versus this version of Red Velvet, sign me up. And they've kind of had some history here a little bit. So good stuff cooking in the women's division, finally getting this mid-card title shaped up a little bit. And I liked the alliance with Queen Amanada, but it seems like she got some scores to settle with Serena Deeb. So
yeah.
Nice to see Red Velvet back here though. And Diamante's been doing great work, SP3.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying Diamante's kind of rise through the ranks with her feud with Layla Hirsch. And it's another instant of a feud that kind of propped up both women, where Layla Hirsch, when she eventually comes back, I can see her immediately getting in contention for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. And I like the fact that Diamante has kind of changed her sights on the Ring of Honor Women's Television Championship. And that's a quality win for Red Velvet to get in her first defense. Just don't make us wait months at a time for this defense. Please don't have her do multiple different proving ground matches before you eventually do this TV title matchup. This is the type of matchup that I think can main event an episode of ROH, and you can really give Diamante that showcase that she needs and to further her development, which we saw in that Layla Hirsch rivalry. You know, yeah, Dave Meltzer giving it one of the highest ratings that he's given any matchup of the year at Death Before Dishonor. So put her in there with Red Velvet, who needs those people that have that experience and that can give her a great matchup, and Diamante fits the bill. So good win for Diamante, but I was more interested in the post-match and what it sets up for the future. This was one of the things that felt like, yeah, that needed to be on this week's show, because we kind of see a direction forming for the women's TV title.
Agreed with everything you just said to the fullest extent. This was like the proper use of a squash and the proper use of a post-match beatdown, and moving at a cadence that we need to see. Like, she finally just is getting some defenses underway. Let's keep it going. Guys, because there's a bunch of you here, I'm going to drop this link to GoFundMe in the chat. It is for Sean's niece, who unfortunately passed away at the age of 16 years old. They're helping with some family expenses. This was obviously something that was very awful and unexpected. So if you are able to contribute, please, please, please do. I know it seems like there's GoFundMes going around all the time, but this is a tough one. And Sean's always as generous as he can be with stuff like this. If you can, please return the favor, because Sean's about as charitable as it goes, and he'll even get his ass kicked for some charity, because Lord knows that guy is never winning another wrestling match he's in, but he'll do it for charity. So we appreciate that around here. Also get in those super chats if there's anything that you want to chat about. We're moving along here as we get Griff Garrison defeating Angelo Parker with the torture rack bomb. I said on Twitter, and I've been saying for a couple weeks here, like, Griff Garrison has all the parts, and he just needs to be the most Griff Garrison he can be. Like, he just needs to assert a little bit more, to have a little bit more confidence, to have a little bit more attack, and I think that's what Adam Copeland saw in this guy. Like, I think he knows that guy's in there. We just need to, like, keep pulling that guy out, and that only happens with more reps. So even though this didn't make a ton of sense, I was kind of glad it was here, because I think of anybody that just needs some reps, I think Griff Garrison's one of those guys, so he continue to establish himself and just get more experience with who he is. I don't know what it says that I like Maria's boys separate more than I like them together. Unfortunately, but like, I like them better in singles. I kind of felt that way about Cole Carter before they joined up, but maybe it's just because they get to stretch their wings a little bit more as far as what they could do. But this did not need to be on the show, but of the things that didn't need to be on the show, I'm kind of glad this one happened because I think he just needs more wrestling matches under his belt.
Yeah, and you know, Maria helping him get the win with her boot, with her very well-timed boot, threw one boot over to Griff, got a distraction, hit him with the other, straight mollywopped him with the other boot right to the head. Cool Hand Ange was seeing stars. He was probably seeing visions of his baby with Ruby, and then he went right into the torture rack bomb by Griff Garrison, and a good shout by Ian Riccoboni bringing up Sid Vicious using that move, you know, the late great Sid Vicious. Sid's got to stick together, like I said last week, so shout outs to that. That's so right. Good call there. And Griff Garrison, yeah, I agree with you. He does need more reps, but he also needs more like backstage segments, like the gripping tips. We still haven't got a follow up from that. That was a good segment.
Follow up with our gripping tips.
We want to learn if he's learned tip etiquette from Maria. We should have, like, you know how they used to do the minion in training vignettes? Have us vignettes of Maria giving him tip etiquette courses.
Or was he, like, intentionally countering? Is he the only guy to properly counter the tip touch? Ooh. Who knows? Like, maybe it was all very calculated and intentional, but Meek Norvis saying, "Hello, bruvs. There's a guy called Beef. Will Hobbs was backstage at Dynamite. Where do we stand with Meat Mayhem asking for a friend?" Well, we had a lot of really good meat jokes earlier in the night. I say about my own jokes. That was a little arrogant. But I made some good. I felt like they were good. I felt like they were solid meat jokes for Beef's match. So you gotta rewind about a half hour, I think, and you'll land in the sweet spot of all of our meat talk. But Will Hobbs looks jacked. Like, he posted a Twitter picture, and I was like, he has been in the gym, it turns out. Not that he was not jacked before, but you know when people go away on it, like when Randy Orton came back, you were like, you put on 40 pounds of muscle mass. Who knows how some of these guys do it, but regardless.
We call it the AJ Styles vitamin package. Vitamin regimen.
It's not bad. It's not bad, but Hobbs looking great. Looking great back there. I'm excited for some of our meat roster to be back in action. Takeshita was in Japan. Will Hobbs has been injured. Miro has been in witness protection or something. We have no idea where that guy is, but we appreciate our meat men. Hopefully we get Meat Mayhem sooner than later. But we get the premier athletes, all of them in action today. But we've got Tony Nese and Ari Daivari with smart Mark Sterling, who has been helping me out with some legal issues against Sean. You can check out our Tuesday night post show for that. But
Very nice.
I guess John Alonzo and Josiah Jean. We get the carpet rug from Ari Daivari on Alonzo. And this is good if you're trying to build the premier athletes to be a real deal stable, which it seems like they are. Again, gotta have trios titles around so that this stuff makes sense. You are handcuffing your fans and your commentators when these matches can't be pointed to for contenderships or anything like that. Like, just, we're talking meat, throw some steaks on the Barbie, right? Like, let's get going with some contendership, but perfectly suitable rep here. Any thoughts on this? This was kind of just there, but like, if we're supposed to be buying into the premier athletes as a real deal situation, this should happen with wins like this.
Yeah, but my main analysis for this matchup is why.
Sure.
Why? Because I don't see this being the direction of, oh, we're going to heat up the premier athletes to get a shot at the tag titles or trios championships. I was just like, this is a match. It happened. It was there.
And to what end? Why are we having this match? That's all we need. Why? Why? Well, we get another win via torture rack bond here, so your match agents need to talk to each other or your editors should do a better job. But John Silver with Evil Uno and Alex Reynolds defeating Fuego del Sol with the torture rack bomb. Another match that was very good, but kind of just happened. Very happy to see Fuego on this run, though. It's been nice having him at those Texas shows. John Silver doesn't get nearly enough credit for how good he is in the ring because he is such a silly goose. But he has some really, really crisp offense, which showed up here. Again, to what end, but a decent enough match. Your thoughts?
Yeah. This was solid, but like as soon as I saw the end of this matchup, I had even more expert analysis of Kel Mitchell voice. Why? Because it was like, does John Silver need two other people to beat Fuego del Sol? I like Fuego del Sol. Hey. I've interviewed Fuego del Sol, the greatest tornado DDT in the game.
It's not
like they have established that Fuego del Sol is someone that you need three people to beat. Like, what did they re-sign Fuego del Sol and they're actually gonna push him? Like, he needed three people to beat Fuego del Sol?
I mean, pushing somebody by having them lose every match they're in on a brand is a weird way to go about it. But hey, happened with Brian Myers for a long time. So who the heck knows?
This is true. I guess he's going to win the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles at All In Texas next year.
That's how she goes. That's how she goes. But we are coming down the home stretch finally. We've got three more matches to talk about. Two of them, which were contenders for my favorite match on the show, but also this outing from Abaddon, who's creeping me out a little bit, SP3, but defeating Rachel Chanel via pinfall with that Black Dahlia. Looking great. This was another thing. This one made a little bit more sense as far as like just having a match because Abaddon has been targeting Athena, needs to be kept looking strong as they kind of work their way towards the women's title picture here. They look great in everything that we've seen from them so far, and I'm glad that even though the title shot might be just in time for spooky season, we've seen a lot more of them on on ROH television. It feels like they are still negotiating, but have found a lot of ways to make the character work in ring, because I feel like there was a lot of ambiguity around, are you supernatural? Are you not? Now it just seems like maybe they're a little out of their mind and they're a little bit creepy and crazy, but they don't really have like a superpower or anything. They're not in supernatural world. So just feels like a cleaner execution of things. Their conditioning also showing off here, like really just moving so much better in the ring and more fluidly, I feel like. So a good win for them. And I'm excited to see our champion who was never scared of them at all. And would never be scared of them under any circumstance. What we get with that feud coming up. What did you think of this match? And are you excited to see them against Athena?
This was finally a matchup on the card after two matches where I was screaming why on my TV that I knew why. I was like, okay, Abaddon is getting a showcase win here, showcasing a little bit of her offense. Like you said, she's moving a lot more fluid in the ring. So I appreciate that for sure. And I appreciate her getting them getting the win in this matchup here. And I want to see them go one-on-one with Athena in the next week or two because Athena, our fallen goddess, our minion overlord, is a mere 10 days away from making history. So whether it be on next week's show or the week after, you need to have them go one-on-one, Abaddon and Athena, for Athena to get the record as the longest reigning champion in Ring of Honor history.
I am so glad that you brought that up because I had forgotten about, I knew the record was close, but 10 days away is crazy. That's really, really special. Certainly not something I ever thought would have happened from the women's division of ROH in previous iterations of this promotion. That's really special. Feels like she's just at least going to be your champion until this Warder deal's done. I would be shocked if Honor Club didn't move to HBO Max. Just gut instinct, nothing that I've heard or anything. But you want to do that on the back of the workhorse that has kept you moving along. So yeah, I agree with you. I'm excited to see this match with them, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. Good stuff. Coming down the home stretch, just two more matches to talk about here, and they were my favorite two on the show. Katsuyori Shibata defeating Josh Woods, which should have just been a proper pure match. with the Juji Katami here. Oh, my God. I think people are starting to see what Josh Woods can do, and it's warming my heart because this guy is so skilled and such a special and unique wrestler. Like, there's not really anybody that's quite like him. I don't know of any kind of techers that are, like, this powerful right now and doing work in this way. He's like, if Tom Lawler had like 40 pounds of muscle on him or something. Like, and Tom Lawler's not a small dude, but Josh Woods, the technical beast, couldn't be more aptly named. Like, it's incredible the work that he can do. I'm so glad they revisited this pairing. I'm hoping we're getting another one out of this, except for the fact that Josh Woods lost the first two. So I don't know. There's nothing calling us to the third one, but if they can find a way to get us there, they should. I wish this was a pure match and they were building toward pure contention and there was a division proper for this. But no complaints other than that. This was fantastic. Shibata, man, just obviously an incredible wrestler. He's the wrestler. But like all those moments where he lets things breathe are so powerful, and they're even more powerful with a guy like Josh.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Woods, where he'll just like kind of take a second and reorient or be like, he got me there. Like, you can kind of read that stuff on his face, and it really adds storytelling to the match. But what were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot. I think that Josh Woods and Shibata have developed good chemistry with one another. Now, Shibata, I believe, is 2-0 against Josh Woods. So this is kind of the obstacle for Josh Woods to overcome. And I wouldn't mind them kind of furthering this little rivalry, mini rivalry that we've been seeing between them over the next couple of months. And eventually, Josh Woods is able to defeat Katsuyori Shibata. But I agree with you as far as the pure division. Like, I know that AEW has kind of scrapped the rankings. They even scrapped and scrubbed wins and losses on their website. But bring that over to Ring of Honor. Make that a Ring of Honor staple. Give us the wins and losses. You already put it up there on the screen whenever the people come out for their matches. So give us rankings. Give us like, okay, Shibata is now the number one contender. We'll see if he has another singles match, if we can get that up there. This wasn't even a legitimate pure rules matchup because we had no judges on the stage, but I want it to kind of be like that they make it the pure rules for these type of matches, and then the winner moves on to face Lee Moriarty for the championship. Because Lee versus Shibata, though, maybe it's a long-term thing, because that is the type of matchup I could see at like a final battle at the end of the year. You built up Shibata on Ring of Honor television while still making sporadic appearances on AEW before you do a Shibata and Lee Moriarty matchup for the pure championship at the end of the year. So if that's the way you're going, or you're listening right now, Tony Khan, fine by me. That's fine of just putting this match out here for now. But Josh Woods had a good showing. Shibata is always awesome. And Shibata, man, he got a huge pop in Kurgan Hall this week going up against Minoru Suzuki for that Takayama show. I only saw his entrance with the big pop. Oh. I still have to go watch that matchup between him and Suzuki.
If you're able to, I would recommend it because it was so much bigger than the present day match. Like, it just felt like an entire era was having a match. Like, it was so special. It was really, really, I was unexpectedly emotional considering it was the wrestler and a murder grandpa. Like, I couldn't believe how affected I was by it emotionally, but it really did feel like this is like decades of Japanese wrestling, just like going at it. It was really, really cool. That whole event was a special one, but Dex Baker with a question that I wish I could answer. I've noticed that only established guys have won the ROH championship in the Tony Khan era. Who do you see as the first new face to win the title? Well, they would have to build up some of the new faces here, SP3. But, you know, I think if you're not going to give Josh Woods the pure title, I think he could make a hell of a world champion. I don't know if you would consider Shane Taylor kind of like an already established guy, but he feels more like an established guy in the ROH context than necessarily like the main roster or whatever. Like, I think he would still kind of be someone that is getting made by a world title here. You said you were thinking the same with Shane Taylor?
I was thinking the same with Shane Taylor, another person I just thought of, who they are using on AEW, but not in anything really specific or like big time. Leo Rush. Why not? Leo Rush is a guy that has his kind of his start of his career in Ring of Honor, where him winning the Ring of Honor World Championship, I think, would be really cool and a great full circle moment for him. I just love Leo Rush and I want to see the most for him, but I think that he has a higher ceiling being a main eventer and a Ring of Honor World Champion than he does of kind of breaking out and becoming a champion on AEW. So if you wanted to pick and choose a guy who's still young in his career, but you can kind of build Ring of Honor around, Leo Rush would fit the bill to me.
Love that. And I would also say, I think a Wardlow TV title run would be really cool. If they don't know what to do with this guy on the main roster, like, he was one of their most over baby faces at one point, like, at all.
Yeah.
And then they had like all that stuff with Hobbs. It didn't really click in too well. And the entirety of the Undisputed Era was just not great. I feel like a TV title run for a guy like Wardlow, because to me, TV titles and mid card titles in general are prone to more defenses. Sure. Like, him being able to squash some people and then have real matches against some people and then world title matches against some people, like, that's a great way to grow someone up, kind of. And I think that could be really, really fun. I've been saying for years that I would love a Ricky Starks TV title run in ROH, but they'll never give that to me. So
no, it doesn't seem like that's happening. Whatever happened to Kyle Fletcher getting a rematch against Alanzas Jr. for the TV title? This just reminded me, talking about the TV title, they had said that match was going to happen, but it does not seem like it is, because Kyle Fletcher is so far removed from Ring of Honor. And it's only been like 2 months since he lost the Ring of Honor TV title.
He was like, I only hang out there if I'm a champion. Sorry.
Yeah. He's like, deuces, guys. I'm going to go have banger matches on Dynamite on Wednesday.
That's it. What? We are at our main event. Last call for Super Chats. If there's anything you want to talk about for tonight's show, some people in the chat were asking, and my apologies. No TNA show tonight. That's why we blew the light, as I said in the chat. We're going overtime because this was a two-hour episode, and we have some breathing room, too. But I loved our main event. Man, Mina Shirakawa, and it's not just because she's out there doing this. Like, she has a fantastic look at you. You can do the whole dance. Do the whole ACM dance.
Oh.
Look at SP3. Look at you. You know a lot of this dance. I am color me impressed.
I study Mark Briscoe's promos cadence, and I study Mina Shirakawa's entrance dance.
I can't unhear your impression of Mark Briscoe, like whenever he has a promo. It's stupendous.
That's the word of the day. It's stupendous. You talking about Bill, British Bill, who gives all the thrills and makes him take pain pills?
Him and Kyle O'Reilly absolutely freaking kill me. Oh, my God. But we have a backstage with Taya Valkyrie ahead of her big match against Mina here. Little grudge feud that we had going. This actually had some build behind it, but Taya taking offense that Shirakawa is treating ROH like summer camp, which I thought was a nice piece of work. But Mina coming in to interrupt Taya, who is like, I don't know, 2.5 feet taller than her. And says, say that to my face. And Taya kind of storms out here. And we get Mina and the beautiful, wonderful Melissa Santos doing a little dance. Who did it better? Them or SP3? You'd have to ask. You'd have to ask. But I'm going to say this guy. This guy right here. But Mina versus Taya was a blast. What did you think before I get into my thoughts here?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed this one. Kind of Mina using her technical ability and going after the leg. She's very much like a female Hiroshi Tanahashi, just with the dragon screw leg whips, how she focuses on the leg and does the dragon screw through the ropes like Tanahashi as well. So I always enjoy the way she works. And that one where she did it when she was on the apron and did the dragon screw, and you could see Taya's leg like buckle underneath her. That was that's a vicious looking dragon screw. And I liked how Taya worked the matchup, kind of using her power and her size advantage and just bullying at times. Honestly, she had me convinced at one point when she was going for the road to Valhalla. I was like, are they going to have Taya beat Mina here? But Mina kind of fighting out of it and then eventually getting the figure four. And I like the fact that they have made the figure four, and especially against someone bigger than her like Taya Valkyrie, the figure four is kind of the finisher that she can put on anybody instead of going for the glamorous driver. So I thought this was smartly worked, and this was by far, in my opinion, the best match on this show.
Yeah, I loved Shibata and Josh Woods. Just from a stylistic standpoint, that stuff's always going to be my shit, but from like a big match feel and the work that these women put on, this was match of the night by a long shot for me. I really, really liked what we got here. And to your point, the in-ring story was super clear and I loved it. Like, there was all of this incredible work being done by Mina. And I loved watching the annoyance just start to build up and build up on Taya's face of like, I'm bigger than her. I'm stronger than her. I should be kicking her ass. Like, you could read that all over her. And I loved that. This was such a great match. Mina is excellent. Taya feels like, I don't know, just a different wrestler than when she came into this company. I've said it a lot. And she was pretty damn good to start. So getting to see her flourish here in ROH has been just awesome. I really, really like what we've been getting out of Taya. She's always had the charisma and the star quality and the look. But like her in-ring, she just looks so much more comfortable than she did when she first got here. We've kind of talked about that repeatedly, but it keeps showing up and it's really encouraging. It's really encouraging to see. So great way to close the show. I wouldn't be mad if they ran it back. There were a couple of near falls where I was like, oh, I wonder if Ty is going to win. And then they'll do a rematch somewhere down the line. But Mina with the win, I loved your comparisons to Tanahashi. That was very, very clearly influenced moveset from the wonderful Tanahashi. So great stuff to close out our ROH review. It is only an ROH review tonight. Normally we goof off here with Cresta saying silly stuff, burping in everybody's faces. And then we're also like, Angel's here. But they've got the night off tonight, so we are going to close the show. But because we're doing that, I could actually let you plug stuff, SP3. Anything you want to plug?
Not my tips. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3, and go over to the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. I'll be live tomorrow 1:05 p.m. Eastern Time with our AEW All Out 2024 preview. I'll be joined by Joe Hobart of The Late Night Grin and
Wrestling Curious.
Yes, happy birthday to Joe Hobart. Happy birthday to my missus as well. It was her birthday today. Well, yesterday where I'm at, but yeah, you know what the deal is. And I think I will also be live tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Time over on Fightful, overbooked on In the Weeds. I got asked earlier today from Jeremy to show up over there, so you can see me over there on the Fightful family under the Fightful tree. I'll be in the weeds, the mocha tent in the weeds tomorrow morning, so join us for that.
We are the workhorsemen over here, okay? You got me in SB3. Couple of programs.
We run to the grind, not from it.
You're damn right we do. We do not fear the grind. We run right into the grind, which is why we are perpetually tired. But a couple of programming notes from my side as well. I'm going to be at Grand Slam. So if you're going to Grand Slam, please hang out. Say hi. Sean's coming in too, which will be super fun. I've gotten to hang out with my own boss like twice in my life. So very much looking forward to being able to watch wrestling and see him. And if you're in New York, if you're going, please don't hesitate to say hello. I will also be on the Dynamite post show next week as well. I'll be there with Alex Cardoza and Alex Pawlowski again. We did the AKA show last night. We're going to do it again next week. The first time we all got together, there was arson. I don't know what to expect next week for the fallout from All Out. But you can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. Here every Thursday with SP3 doing this show. Tuesdays and Fridays on the main channel as well doing NXT and your SmackDown reviews. Mondays on Fightful Select and normally Wednesdays at the Mark Order when I'm not filling in for Sean. So have a safe and wonderful rest of your wrestling week. We're out of here. No? No, we're not out of here? End the stream. No? You keep waving.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.